We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, welcome to Candlestick Chronicles, a 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I'm Kyle Madsen. I write about the 49ers over at NinersWire.com, part of the USA Today Sports Media Group. Joining me right now, somebody who rocks yellow better than anybody I know, Chris Biederman. And we're going to talk about this 49ers-Ravens Super Bowl preview? Question mark? We'll talk about that. But first, we got to tell you about the homies at Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com. That's the website. And you get 20% off with the promo code Candlestick20. You're like, Kyle, what's Lamb Chops? Well, first of all, listen to the ads more regularly. Second of all, it's the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And we love Lamb Chops, man. I don't know whether I think if I had to pick one item of Lamb Chops clothing that I could only pick one for the rest of my life, I'm having a really hard time deciding between the sweat shorts with the zippered pockets,
which I'm wearing right now,
which you've got on. I can see it underneath the Zoom or the whatever the video, or the ash gray hoodie.
That's been getting a lot of run.
Gets a lot of burn for your boy, especially in the mornings. It's very cold out.
It's warm. It's cozy. All of their stuff is comfortable. It's warm. T-shirts got a little bit more thickness to them. It's a Minnesota brand, so I think the t-shirts are perfect for this time of year, sort of as a base layer.
Sacramento winter is more like Minnesota, like fall.
Sure. I feel yeah. Sacramento, like January is like Minnesota, like October.
Yeah. Right.
And, so, but yeah, I mean, it's
just the month.
Right. I'm just adding some specificity, but I got, you know, like wearing the sweat shorts around the house. Phenomenal. Wearing the joggers out. I've covered sporting events in the joggers, and people are like, man, he looks comfortable. He looks stylish. What's that guy's deal?
Guy's both stylish and comfortable. So are those zippered pockets?
He can hold anything. Out of those things. He can hold anything he wants in those damn pockets. I'm telling you, I'm a huge fan of all the Lamb Chops clothing that I own. Comfortable, stylish, of course. And as you know, Kyle, they look dope, and that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, I would agree that is the single most important aspect of clothing, is ensuring that it looks dope, and Lamb Chops sure does. You can look dope in your Lamb Chops. Just go to sglambchops.com today, use promo code Candlestick20, get 20% off your order, and join the herd. Candlestick Chronicles is also sponsored by Cooperage Brewing. We love Cooperage. Yesterday was a beer day for me, a Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA day. It was great. Have dinner, sip a little Candlestick Chronicles Hazy IPA. Great way to end the day, but great way to watch football. Maybe you're an oatmeal stout person this time of year. I do love a dark beer. I do love the oatmeal stout. You can snag some of that. Maybe you're into pills. Maybe you're into a seltzer, a hard seltzer. They got that. They got everything, man. I love Cooperage.
You can get some Tommy Pastrami Hazy IPA. You can get some Sound is Vibration, also a Hazy IPA. You get Straight totally. Merked Hazy IPA. You can get Candlestick Chronicles Merked. Hazy IPA. You can get a Cold IPA. You can get a Kurt Reynolds Pale Ale. You can get Dollar Dollar Pills, y'all. Nice little pun there. Mellow Sunshine Wheat Ale, if Wheat Ale is your jam, Strawberry Watermelon and Mint Sparkle Pants. You can get a Lager Life Mix Case, which is just a random assortment. And most importantly, you can get it all shipped directly to your door if you're of 21 or of age, 21 and up, and in the state of California. And yeah, home of Keg Slayer. I don't think they have any on sale right now, or at least on their website. Okay. But if you can get some Keg Slayer, would highly recommend it.
Bro, it's honestly, I'm a clown because we're at our event, Candlestick Chronicles live pod at Cooper's Brewing. We're at the event for Candlestick Chronicles, and they, you know, get there, order a candle cron, obviously, up on the stage. They drop off another one, obviously. After the event, I am all Keg Slayer.
Maybe
taking off my bias, taking off my podcaster hat, taking off my bias, Keg Slayer might be my favorite beer of all time.
It's pretty good.
It's really
good. It's pretty good. I mean, candy cron can't beat a candy cron on a hot day, on a cold day. It's obviously named after this podcast. The can looks amazing. It has a very sentimental place in my heart.
Totally.
But Keg Slayer is delicious and absolutely worth trying if you're at Cooperage. So shout out to Cooperage. Go to the brewery in Santa Rosa. If not, go to their website, cooperagebrewing.com, and get beer shipped directly to your door. It's awesome.
It's the best way to acquire beer. All right, let's talk Niners Ravens.
Hey, this is George Kittle, and you're listening to Candlestick Chronicles.
Kittle in Denver territory! Kittle is gonna go! Touchdown!
Bosa has got him, and a sack him back inside the 30-yard line. Nick Bosa drops Aaron Rodgers for a 13-yard loss.
Quick pass caught by Kittle. He dives, and he's in! Touchdown!
Super Bowl preview time, Chris. Does the fact that these two teams are going to meet up in January change the fact or change your thoughts on whether the 49ers should play all their guys? Maybe they just go out and kind of kneel on it. You don't want to open up the playbook too much. Maybe you rest your starters in this game instead of week 18. I mean, the possibilities are endless.
Well, first I want to address something you said. You said I was wearing yellow. This is a cream color. This is like a light khaki cream color. My look yellow in video. It's an Ohio State hoodie. It's my favorite, one of my favorite new hoodies, obviously, along with Lamb Chops, but just wanted to set the record straight there.
Let's run it. Hang on. Let's run it back. Kyle Madsen, right about the 49ers. Joining me now, as always, the person who looks better in cream than anyone I know.
Thank you.
Chris Peterman.
Appreciate that.
Great. Covered in cream.
No. So yeah, I mean, I think the 49ers are going to treat this like a really big game, right? Like, yeah, I think the 49ers are in the mode now where they are preparing for a Super Bowl run. They are, ramping up the intensity, knowing that it's going to be extremely difficult, potentially the hardest thing any of these guys have ever done in their careers, which is to match the expectations of what the season's become, which is a Super Bowl type run, right? Like, this is a team that is historically good from DVOA numbers, right? Aaron Schatz at FTN has written multiple times that this Niners team weighted DVOA through 14 games or 15 games, whatever it is now, says that this is the best DVOA team since the 2007 Patriots. And so, like, with a team that has had this type of ramp up, right? Like, this is a team that went to the Super Bowl in 2019 and then went, you know, they had 2020, which is basically a lost year in the pandemic and everyone got hurt, and then went to the NFC Championship game 2 years in a row. And a lot of those core players have gotten that taste and are really frustrated by the fact that they haven't won a Super Bowl yet. Mm-hmm. And so this might be this group's last best chance, right? Like, who knows what the health situation is going to be like next year. Trent Williams is going to be a year older, right? He's already 35. Mm-hmm. Who knows if the composition of the roster is going to be exactly the same. Are you going to have Eric Armstead? Are you going to, you know, some of these expensive guys, like, are you going to be able to keep everybody? Because you're going to have to make concessions at some point, because you are going to have to pay Brock Purdy presumably after next year. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to start looking forward to a very different financial landscape when he's making, you know, if he continues to play, if he plays next year like he did this year, he's going to be a $50, $60 million a year quarterback. That's just what it's going to be.
Yep.
And the quarterback situation is not, it's not, you know, the best quarterback gets paid. It's when are you a free agent and you are the guy who sets the market. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo was for a time the highest paid quarterback in NFL history when he first got his deal in February 2018. So this is really precious for all these guys' careers, right? Like, this is a very unique moment in time. And what Monday night to me represents is, well, it's not, obviously it's not win or go home. It's win and then put your step on the neck of the rest of the conference when it comes to getting the one seed, because mm-hmm. all you'll have to do is win one of your remaining two games. One of those games, which is the next week against Washington, obviously a very winnable game. That might allow you to rest some of your key guys in week 18. So you have a super fresh team with potentially 2 weeks off going into the playoffs.
Also, I don't know if anybody watched the Rams the last couple of weeks, and tonight we're recording this Thursday night. You don't want to go into week 18 needing to beat the Rams.
Yeah.
That is not a scenario that I know the 49ers have, you know, beat them a bunch of times in a row in the regular season and all that. That is not a team that I think anybody in the NFC wants smoke with right now.
You would much rather just have Sam Darnold go out there and hand the ball off to Jordan Mason and have Ross Dwelly catch six passes. And you
if
know,
he's back from his high ankle.
If you can get Danny Gray on the field, maybe get him a little burn. Chris Connolly. See if he can be a deep threat for you, right?
Get Danny Gray on the field. We got to get him on the roster, Doc.
Yeah, no, I know.
We got some work to do.
You get my point. Like obviously the 49ers would love to, you know, like you want to be super sharp. But for me, like given that this is a veteran roster and that, you know, you really, really need that one seed. If winning Monday night puts you a week closer towards getting that one seed, and is a step closer towards potentially getting to rest your guys week 18 if you have the one seed wrapped up by week 17. So yeah. This is a big game, less from a standpoint of like, can they beat the Ravens? Is it going to give them a whole lot of confidence if they did have to play the Ravens in the Super Bowl? Like that I don't think really matters, right? Like the Niners are confident enough that even if they were to lose Monday, they would think they it wouldn't be like a kick to the gut. And their confidence would be shook if they like went to the Super Bowl and had to play the Ravens. This 49ers team knows they can beat anybody. They know that right. They're historically good potentially. So I look at it just as a super important game from the standpoint of getting the one seed, getting the bye, mm-hmm. and like just seeing where you stack up against a truly elite team, mm-hmm. because the Cowboys on the road, obviously not an elite team. The Cowboys are 3-4 on the road.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott is a mediocre to maybe less than mediocre on the like quarterback on the road. If you just look purely at his road numbers, right?
Right, right.
So that Sunday night game that they had against the Cowboys might not mean nearly as much given the way the Cowboys season has gone and the way they've played on the road. The Eagles now, as big as that game felt in the moment, the Eagles now look a little bit fraudulent. And I think you and I correctly said that they were probably closer to a 4 or 5 loss team than a 1 loss team. Or maybe, I don't know, at that time, a 3 loss team, whatever. They weren't as good as a record said, right?
Right.
And that's coming very much to fruition. And so this game on Monday against Baltimore offers the 49ers the best test they're going to get this season.
Yeah.
The best team, and then they will be able to sharpen the edges and figure out where they need to improve going into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that the Ravens offer, I think, different challenges than Philadelphia and Dallas specifically, in that, like, Philadelphia, we knew that defense going in was like really vulnerable. Particularly in the middle of the field, and particularly with their linebackers and with their safeties. And if you have weaknesses in coverage at linebacker and safety, Kyle Shanahan is going to exploit that and exploit that and exploit that and break your defense that way. We've seen that, I mean, since 2017, really. And I don't think you're necessarily going to be able to do that with Baltimore. And then you add in the Lamar Jackson element where, like, Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate, and I guess, I mean, technically still is, but at the time of at week 13, like, he was the MVP candidate. But a lot of it was because of late-game comebacks, because he hadn't been good early in games, and all these rushing touchdowns, but then you find out that of his 10 rushing touchdowns, like, 9 of them were on tush pushes, and it just was kind of like, okay, he's having a fine year, but is he really? But Lamar is like legit. Lamar is really, really good. And with their new offensive coordinator, Todd Monken, it's not the Greg Roman passing game anymore. It's not the super simple, you know, I mean, just go harken back to the Niners of 2011, 12, and 13, and I guess 14. Like, that was not a super advanced passing attack by any means. So I think that now they have a new OC. Lamar's having his best season ever as a passer. He's still super dynamic as a runner. Is he as dynamic as Brock Purdy? You know, jury's still out. But I mean, he's super, like, the best running quarterback of all time.
Just and barely, just 1/100th of a second more bursty than Brock Purdy.
Basically the same guy. It's crazy. It's like I was watching Purdy highlights. I was like, wait, which quarterback is this?
It's yeah. What Shanahan said in that presser leading up to the 2021 draft, dude.
Stop.
He found his Lamar Jackson and Drew Brees hybrid. We're there. This is Nirvana.
Hey, real quick, just on that, the Ravens are good. That was a point. I know that we all got caught up in the Lamar Jackson of it, and if you know, you know. Here, we're not gonna. I know a lot of people got caught up in the Lamar Jackson of it. I'm still hung up on the Drew Brees of it. Can we fucking relax? Drew Brees threw for 5,000 yards like 8 times in his career. Drew Brees is a first ballot Hall of Famer, no doubt, stone cold lock for Canton. Brock Purdy has started like 20 games. Can we just pump the brakes a little?
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. As the person who asked Kyle Shanahan that question that led to the comment about wanting
sick flex,
Drew Brees comboed with Lamar Jackson in that Zoom press conference leading up to the 21 draft. There is no way Kyle Shanahan was talking about, like, a pretty functionally athletic quarterback, right? Like, we can consider Brock Purdy a pretty functionally athletic quarterback. Like, when he was talking about Lamar Jackson, or even mentioning Lamar Jackson, he was like, yeah, you'd want a pocket quarterback like Drew Brees, and a guy who might be the best running quarterback we've ever seen.
We're looking for Drew Brees with the functional athleticism of a Lamar Jackson.
Like, and this is no disrespect to Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is certainly more athletic than he gets credit for, and he's really good at making plays outside of structure of the offense. But when Kyle Shanahan made that comment, it was like, yeah, we want a combination of Tom Brady and Mike Vick, right? Like, it wasn't like, oh, in my head, I want this guy who can make these subtle little movements and, like,
yeah, right. Go ahead.
Well, let alone from the fact that we don't actually have any recorded times of Lamar Jackson's 10-yard split.
So let's kind of bring this back to reality for a second. The thing about that is, like, it took because Brock Purdy's 10-yard burst, whatever, 1.55 or whatever, is genuinely, like, that's a good number. And I think you see it in his escapability, in the way he moves around the pocket, in the way he can when he does take off and run. Like, he's not a slow lumbering guy by any means. He is a functionally good athlete.
All and correct.
Yeah, and I think you see in some of the throws he makes, the way he can flip his hips. He is a very, very good athlete for the position, and I think it is part of the reason that he is really, really, really good. Bringing Lamar Jackson into it just makes the just takes the conversation to Looneyville. Like, dude, like Brock Purdy is a very good athlete, and it shows on a snap after snap basis, and it shows in the play calls that Kyle Shanahan runs, or the play calls that Kyle Shanahan makes for them because of the things that Purdy can do athletically. But
yeah,
that does not make him Lamar Jackson.
The internet take. That we're talking about, and if you're unclear, just do some searching on X, formerly Twitter.
Just Google Lamar Jackson 10-yard split, and
yeah, it's really good. It's really good stuff, really humorous stuff. But no, that's an aside because it's humor, man. It's just entertainment. That's all it really is at this point. But
I have so many jokes in my drafts for Monday night. I'm really excited.
I'm looking forward to seeing those. So, but no, let's talk about Lamar Jackson because I do think it's going to be interesting to see how the 49ers defend him because I don't think the plan is going to be like it was for when they played Jalen Hurts, right? Like Jalen Hurts, they were pretty much like, we are not going to aggressively try to pressure Jalen Hurts and allow him lanes to escape and burn us on second reaction plays, right? It was very much like, we are going to rush forward and not take the bait and allow him to make a move on us and find space to where he can use his legs and run for, you know, chunk plays or first downs or whatever. They were very much like, we're just going to stay here and make him come to us. I don't think you can do that with Lamar Jackson because I think Lamar Jackson is a more instinctual runner. I think he's just a more explosive runner.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think Lamar is a better playmaker when it comes to making throws outside of structure too. Like he's probably the best playmaking quarterback in the NFL.
And the other thing, just real quick, just along those lines, you mentioned Fred Warner and that play in particular, and our buddy Nate reached out about this. That play where Hurts, I think it was the third down, and he scrambled, and Warner just put his heels on the first down marker and was like, "Nope."
Yeah,
like this is as far as you're going to go. I don't think that'll necessarily work with Jackson because I think Jalen Hurts is like banged up. It's very clear to me that he's not the dynamic athlete that he was last year, but that's a separate thing. Lamar is right now today a far better runner and far more elusive runner where I don't think you can just kind of plop down in the middle of the field and be like, all right, he's going to come to me. Like you said, the other thing is Isaiah Likely, their tight end, is super athletic, and Lamar looks for him all the time, the way he did for Mark Andrews. And so the Niners are going to have to devote resources to covering the tight end in ways they did not against Philadelphia because Dallas Goedert was out. So that's another wrinkle to the Lamar Jackson playmaking stuff that helps negate athletic players in the second level like Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner, just kind of keeping him from breaking out.
Yeah. And I think there's a possibility, like, even Fred Warner in space could get juked and dusted by Lamar Jackson. Like, that's, yes, 1,000%. You know what I mean? It's going to be a full team effort slowing him down. I don't know. The one thing I would say, and Nick has pointed this out in the group chat, shout out to our favorite cast member who's getting his one per show shout out here. But
Nick Wagner,
I don't know.
49ers for ESPN.
I don't know that. Yeah. I don't know that Baltimore has the weapons. Like, I don't. Say what you want about Odell Beckham Jr., obviously at a very different phase in his career.
Sure.
Right.
Third receiver at this point.
They just lost one of their running backs, whose name is currently escaping me on Sunday night for the season. Keaton Mitchell. Thank you. And Zay Flowers, I think, is fine, but probably.
Zay Flowers is good.
He's good. He's still a rookie receiver. Like, I just don't. I don't know that one of those guys is going to have like 140 yards and 8 catches and like
no
do what it might take to
no I don't agree or I don't disagree. Let me pause on this real quick because I have one more Fred Warner thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
Can I make a quick prediction?
Sure.
At some point, Lamar Jackson is going to shake Fred Warner out of his shoes, and Trey Aikman is going to be like, and that's Fred Warner. That's the best linebacker in the game. And Lamar Jackson just da da da. That's going to happen. That's 1,000% going to happen. Just FYI, everybody. As far as the receivers go and their playmakers go, I totally agree that you're not worried about them the way you're worried about, I mean, Devontae Smith or AJ Brown or CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks or Tony Pollard or whoever. I'm totally there, but I think they are good enough and functionally good enough that on third and nine, Lamar Jackson extends the play a little bit and Odell Beckham Jr. finds some room on the sideline for a first down, or Zay Flowers on a little end around, finds some room and, gets an explosive play on the ground. Lamar, you know, buying time in the pocket, finds Isaiah Likely down the seam. Like there's, I think enough there with what Lamar Jackson can do with his arm, because his arm talent's crazy, but then buying time with his legs and scrambling, that I think it, that in itself makes his weapons more dangerous than they probably are in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Also, Rashad Bateman is on the team. That's another player.
He's a good player.
He's fine.
I watch him in college, Big Ten guy.
I think Zay Flowers would be the Niners' number three receiver. But I don't think Odell Beckham Jr. or Rashad Bateman would play a ton for the Niners. Bateman might.
I could see a lot of 11 personnel being played if they got OBJ.
You think?
I mean, he's not like washed.
I know, but does he block? Can he block? I genuinely have no idea.
I mean, you could. They could make it work. I think OBJ would be a pretty good third receiver in this offense.
Okay.
IMO.
Okay. That's fair.
I'm pulling up his numbers now.
I just got to know if OBJ's got that dog in him.
I think he's got that dog in him. I mean, 32 catches, 519 yards, 3 touchdowns. It's not, hasn't been crazy good there. Yeah, Zay Flowers.
I think it's also a function of their offense a little bit.
Yeah, Zay Flowers is having a much more productive season than OBJ. Zay Flowers has 65 catches on 92 targets.
Zay Flowers can hoop, dude.
He has more than twice the catches of OBJ.
Yeah.
On 30% more targets.
Yeah, I think what makes the Ravens tough, well, first of all of this comes back to, for me, if Javon Hargrave and Arik Armstead are both going to be out again, I think the Ravens are just going to get behind their offensive line and run it 60 times and just do read option stuff and cook.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think the game plan would be.
Yeah. I think when it comes to the Ravens, as good as Lamar Jackson is, I think their defense poses a bigger problem than their offense as a whole.
I agree.
Like if the Ravens win, I think it turns into an ugly, grimy, like defensive game and they win like 17-14 mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's the difference ends up being like a missed field goal or a turnover or a special teams play, right? Like I think the Ravens are really good on special teams, and the Niners special teams numbers have not been particularly good. I know from a DVOA perspective, the Niners I think are 24th.
The Ravens are 17th in special teams grade according to PFF. It's a strong Kelly Green there. The 49ers are a 67.0. It's more of a It's more of a like.
Is it yellow?
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Yellow is doing the green in the color a disservice. It's more like, what's the name of the ghost from Ghostbusters? Slimer?
Yeah.
I think it's more of a Slimer green.
Okay.
To me, if I'm remembering his color correctly.
Sorry, green's pretty good on the PFF color wheel, isn't it?
It's like it's a mix between yellow and green for sure.
So like a light green. So obviously dark green is better than the lighter green. And then when you get into the blue, that's when you're like in the 90s, like an elite player. Like Trent Williams.
The Niners overall grade is a dark blue.
Yeah. Trent Williams grades are forever dark blue.
It's so funny.
On PFF. I just this is nothing against PFF. I just really enjoy them like trying to quantify everything and then having colors associated with the grades. It's
the great. 49ers have a 53.7 pass block grade. That is a creamsicle orange. That's bad.
And the Ravens lead the NFL in sacks.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the two things with the Ravens defense. You were just talking about this becoming like a becoming a defensive kind of knockdown drag out type of game. What the Ravens can do on their defensive line, they have an interior lineman named Justin Matabuike who is sick. He is really, really good. And then they can pressure you off the edge. They have like Kyle Van Noy is just like a rotational edge for them. He's a really, really good player, a really effective player. Jadeveon Clowney's on that team now. I'm gonna butcher the pronouncing of I think it's Adafe Owe, I believe is how you pronounce that.
Mm-hmm.
He is again another just really, really good player. Yeah, Adafe Owe, I believe is how you pronounce that.
Penn State
legend for sure. Yep. Shout out Big Ten.
Hackensack, New Jersey, stand up.
Yeah, so and that's so their defensive line is really good, but they have, I think, in Kyle Hamilton, their safety, their second year safety, former first round pick, and then Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith, all former first round picks. They have the athleticism in the second level and the coverage skills in the second level to be, I think, more effective than we've seen any defense be against the 49ers, save for Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the kind of easy throws that Purdy gets, especially when he's under pressure, aren't necessarily going to be there in the middle of the field. So that's going to be interesting to see how the Niners combat that, because they'll obviously know they're going to I'm not breaking news here, but I definitely think that they're going to have to do something creative and different to get some of the throws in the throwing lanes that Purdy's used to having.
Yeah, the Ravens have some of their best players where the 49ers do a lot of their best work, right? That's in the middle of the field, right? Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Kyle Hamilton and you mentioned the linebackers. One thing that's interesting, though, is the most yards the Ravens have allowed this season came 2 weeks ago against the Rams. And obviously that game went to overtime, so I think that yardage played a role potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But the Rams probably had the most success against the Ravens of any other team. Mm-hmm. And so obviously the Rams and the 49ers run very similar versions of Kyle Shanahan's offense.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if there's going to be a lot to take away from that game a few weeks ago. And on the other side, like, can the Ravens look at that and say, we need to be better in these areas against this offense? And are they going to make adjustments the other way? That's going to be really fascinating. If you're just like a football fan, if you're the Niners offense versus the Ravens defense is like as good as it gets, really.
It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be really fun. And then you have the Niners defense against Lamar Jackson, which is also fun. I'm like personally very excited.
I think it would be a little bit disappointing if San Francisco steamrolled Baltimore the way they did Dallas and Philly. That'd be kind of a bummer.
Unless you're a 49ers fan and then you're okay, this is pretty awesome.
if that happens, I will be on this podcast like, where's the parade? Like, let's plan it.
Listener to this podcast can be like, oh, they won by 40. Shit. So bummed.
Like, ah, no, I was going along the lines of being, if you're a football guy,
yeah,
and you're like, man, this is gonna be an awesome game, I'm locked in, and the Niners are just that much better than the second best team in the league, be like, oh, like, well,
it would be fun to see them play a really close game against a good team.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that would be, when you talk playoffs and Super Bowl, I think it'd be better for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they haven't played a close game since the Minnesota game.
I genuinely, like, I don't think it's off the table that they do that again.
What? Lose?
No.
Like the Minnesota
game? Just kind of steamrolls Baltimore.
No, I don't think it's off the table either. They're that good.
I think I have a ton of respect, and I think Baltimore's really, really good. have a ton of respect for them, and I believe this game will be close. But going into the Dallas game, I was like, this is going to be like the playoff game last year. I was so convinced about that. Didn't go that way. The Philly game, I'm going, I think they have a chance to win, but I think it's going to be really tight. I think Purdy's going to struggle. Did not go that way. And here I go into this Ravens game, and I'm going, I think it's going to be really tight. I think Purdy's going to have a hard time because of X, Y, and Z. And maybe it just doesn't matter, dude. Maybe all of this, this team can do this, and the Niners, and they can expose this weakness and that. Like, maybe it just doesn't freaking matter.
So, Nate Tice, who podcasts for The Athletic and writes for Yahoo, had a really interesting thing. He writes a piece called The Overhang, and he did a Niners Ravens breakdown, and he talked about the Niners offense. And I think what he talked about is the reason why the 49ers are so tough to defend and why they can just dominate.
I'm sorry, also, who is this?
Nate Tice.
Got it.
And basically what he wrote was that, and I think he used to coach in the league. His dad is Mike Tice. So I think
he played
was
quarterback at Wisconsin.
Yeah. He was, I don't want to speak for him, but I know he was in the league. I don't know his resume. Anyway, he talked about the 49ers having multiple calls every time they break the huddle, and they basically change plays based on what the defense is doing. So one of the main reasons for all their motions is it's not just as simple as, like, you know, identifying a mismatch and putting somebody in motion to go take advantage of that mismatch. It's to basically have the defense declare whether or not they're in zone or man before the snap.
Right.
And then they react accordingly. And, like, I was just thinking about it, like, no matter how good your defense is, if you have Christian McCaffrey and Debo Samuel and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk at your disposal, and you can basically dictate what you're like, where the mismatch is going to be on any single play, whether the defense is in man or zone. And Nate Tice talked about, you know, like the amount the 49ers pass against man coverage and the amount that they throw to Christian McCaffrey in zone coverage. Like, there are very distinct numbers that say, the 49ers are far more prone to throw to Christian McCaffrey in zone coverage, which makes sense because if you're playing zone and, you know, if it's cover three and you have the secondary playing deep, well, who's going to be the guy who can find space with option routes, you know, in the middle of the field where when the deep stuff is taken away, it's Christian McCaffrey. So right. Like, the Niners essentially have answers for anything a defense throws at them, which is why a major reason why Brock Purdy can overcome that offensive line that just isn't very good, like you mentioned earlier.
Right.
And lost in the Brock, and this is an aside, lost in the Brock Purdy MVP conversation, everyone talks about, like, oh, he's surrounded by weapons and blah, blah, blah. He's also playing behind a not good pass blocking offensive line. It's Trent Williams and a bunch of schmoes, really, when it comes to pass blocking. So, like,
have you seen that Ben Baldwin chart? It's like quarterback production on one axis and then pass blocking. I think it's pass blocking is on the X axis and quarterback production. And Purdy's dot is like horrible pass blocking, but his production is just like through the roof.
He's like way high just in the left, right?
Yeah, just a huge outlier. Yeah.
All alone.
It's really funny.
That's
good podcasting by me.
Yeah. All those graphs are really funny. It's like Brock Purdy, like, all in his lonesome in some random spot.
Yeah. But hey, none of that matters. Or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. Now, Mike McDonald, their defensive coordinator, Baltimore's defensive coordinator, is really, really good at not having the same game plan. Like, he is a opponent specific game plan kind of guy. And that's what Bill Belichick's known for, right? Like, he'll be a 4-3 one week, and then he'll come out in like a bare front the next week, football guy term. And then it'll come out the next week in like a 3-4. And then it's all going to change, and it's going to be opponent dependent. So I think that's going to be something that we see a little bit this week, is the Ravens mixing things up and maybe throwing some things at the Niners offense that other coordinators haven't really been able to do.
Yeah.
And they have the talent to do it.
They do. Like, I could see It's one of those games where I think all outcomes are on the table. Like, even against Philadelphia, I thought the 49ers were clearly like the better team, but the Eagles had mucked so many games up and pulled games out of their hind parts in so many different ways that, like, it was, you know, you could see that potentially happening in that game. And the Niners just dominated. I could see the Niners having a similar game where it's like, okay, nobody can beat this team, but I can also see the Ravens winning. I could see it being ugly and close. I could see, I mean, there could be injuries. Who knows? Knock on wood. We don't want there to be any injuries. But, like, to me, I just think the Niners are so good right now that it would have to take an injury somewhere or some weird stuff happening for the Niners to lose. Like, Trent Williams gets rolled up on in the second quarter, and then the Ravens get out to a 7-point lead, and the Niners just don't have, like, can't run left.
Sure.
And they don't have the pass protection.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, it doesn't, there's, we have not seen yet that there is a team that can line up and beat this version of the 49ers when healthy, just in a, hey, that team just won. Like, it was a good football game, and that they were just a better team. I just haven't really seen that yet.
Yeah.
And maybe Baltimore's that team. I don't know. But I've, you know, they've looked really impressive when they boat raced the Lions at home, and they boat raced Seattle at home when they were when Seattle was cooking. And but then you go watch them last week against Jacksonville. It's like, that wasn't super impressive. So I don't know. I don't know.
Like, they win games. The craziest, we haven't mentioned this yet.
Oh, yeah.
The craziest Ravens stat is that they've been leading every single game they've played at the 2-minute warning.
Insane.
Of the fourth quarter.
Also, tough that they've lost three games like that.
Right. It's like, it's equally incredible that they've led every single game through, what, 58 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And then lost three of them. Like, those, both of those facts are equally incredible to me. So maybe that's just like, I mean, obviously that's not a stat that's sustainable. Like, the Niners, it wouldn't be surprising at all if the 49ers were somehow winning by the 2-minute warning, right?
No, that's
a wild stat. Like, they are both, like, really good and tested in, like, all sorts of crazy late game scenarios, which, frankly, the 49ers have not been. Like, they just haven't really been tested in late game situations.
Well, and every time it gets the ones they have, you know, that Bengals game, there were a couple possessions late where they could have made it a game and they didn't. And then obviously the Vikings game, we haven't seen them do this, play in a close game where they had their dudes. And so if they do, that'll be an entirely new thing.
In the Cleveland game, Trent Williams was banged up and hurt. Deebo Samuel was banged up and hurt. Christian McCaffrey was banged up and hurt.
Mm-hmm.
There was the ridiculous incomplete pass that should have been a fumble at the end of the second half.
Oh, yeah.
There was two Jake Moody missed field goals, including a potential game winner. And I'm not, like, throwing that game out, but, like, a whole lot of that. That's sort of like the weird stuff I'm talking about. That,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Might be the way, like, if you beat the Niners right now, it might just take a whole bunch of weird stuff happening.
Yeah.
And then in Minnesota, they didn't have Trent. They didn't have Deebo. Brock Purdy got drilled in the head in a quarterback sneak and later had to be in the concussion protocol. And you had the cover zero blitz that led to a touchdown in a game that you lost by a score at the end of the first half. Right. So that was weird.
Yeah.
And then the Cincy game was like, since he was coming off a bye, the Niners had a short week, and the energy levels of the two teams just look completely different.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add. You're right. We've not walked away from a game just going like, oh, that was the better team today. And
right.
I that's the one thing I don't think that we're going to be doing here is sitting here on Monday night or Tuesday or whenever we're recording and being like, man, Niners just aren't the best team in the league. They just got outclassed. I don't think that will necessarily be the case at all. So,
yeah. I agree. There was a good question. I think you started.
Yeah.
Favorited it from Caroline in the chat. We're on YouTube streaming. We appreciate everyone hanging out with us on YouTube. If you're listening to the podcast, yeah, hit the like button, hit subscribe. It helps the channel, helps the podcast. That's all super helpful. And if you're already here in the YouTube chat, subscribe to the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get it. Caroline asks, as journalists / podcasters, do Niner games landing on Christmas night enhance your holiday experience, or is it a total pain in the ass for you personally? Just curious. I'll let you go first.
Yeah. It definitely doesn't enhance it for me. No, because Christmas is my favorite holiday, and I love just getting to sit around with my family and have some drinks and enjoy the evening. And with a game, it's like you got to be locked in, and you got to be writing, and you got to be following stuff, and you got to be taking notes and all this and that. So it's definitely, I wouldn't say it enhances it, but I'm definitely not like dreading it. It's not like a bad thing. Like, it's not hard work. It's a game I was going to be watching anyways. It's just not like, if this was a non-Niner game, if this was going to be Ravens, I don't even know. If this is going to be Ravens Dolphins or Ravens Bills or Ravens, I don't know, pick a team. If this is going to be a game like that, it'd be like, yeah, I'm going to kick my feet up and I'm going to sit there and watch it and veg out and just be a sports fan. But so I'm not. If I had my druthers, I would not have the 49ers playing on holidays, but I'm also not going to sit here and be like, oh, my Christmas was ruined. I'm still going to have a great day but honestly, like if I'm keeping, I don't know how your families do Christmas. If you celebrate the holiday, if not, fine.
Or Hanukkah, whatever
holiday you celebrate this time of year. God, for me, it's Christmas. So if you do that, great. If you don't, do whatever makes you and your family happy. We're done by like 2:00. Like, we're all done. Everything's done. We're going to sit around the rest of the day. So about 5:15 is having a game come on. It'll be great.
When I was covering the team, obviously I covered the team as a beat writer for, I don't know how long, from 13 to 21. And I only covered one Thanksgiving game. I did, and I was single at the time, so it wasn't really all that problematic. But it obviously, like, when life changes in that way, then it gets a little bit more complicated when you look at the schedule and you're like, oh, the Niners play on Thanksgiving, and oh, they play on Christmas Day. Obviously not ideal, but as somebody who's not around the team daily anymore, it's a little bit easier for me, and we have the freedom to podcast whenever we want. And I don't write on deadline about the team anymore. So it's not if I were still a beat writer, I would probably be a little bit saltier about the schedule, because we'd be like, I just gave you Thanksgiving. I spent Thanksgiving in Seattle away from the fam, and now I have to work on Christmas Day also, but at least it would be in Santa Clara. But no, like, it's kind of fun. Like, my dad's going to come over. We're going to barbecue. You and I are not podcasting Christmas.
Yeah, no, not podcasting night. Christmas night. That's just going to be late. And once the game's over, I want to finish up my writing and be with my family.
Yeah, we don't.
I also
want
might
to,
be like several drinks in.
We're not going to have our producer like have to, cut all this up on Christmas. Like,
shout out to Tyler,
busts his ass for us. We're not gonna ask him to do that. So we'll have some content after the game for sure. It might just be Tuesday morning. But no, like, it's fun. Like, I know some people who like, ooh, Niners are covering a game on Thanksgiving. Like, that's super cool. It's a unique opportunity. And I'm like, yeah, I guess. But I would way rather like have time with my family and like cover, you know, like work on normal Sundays as opposed to like Thanksgiving and Christmas is tough. I'm not a New Year's person, but they also play on New Year's Eve. Like, I don't know if we'll ever see the Niners play on Thanksgiving, Christmas Day, and New Year's Eve ever again. Like, this feels kind of unique from that perspective.
That's nuts,
isn't it?
Wow. So, holiday team. Yeah. All right, it's time for prize picks. It's my favorite thing about watching sports is daily fantasy sports from Prize Picks, the largest DFS platform in America. And we play this every week. It is, like I said, it's my new favorite thing. And it's super easy. You pick 2 to 6 players with stat projections to create an entry. And then you pick more or less on those stat projections and you watch a winnings pile up. It's super easy. And right now they have this really fun thing. And Chris, I'm going to hand this off to you after this because you are a big demon guy. You are on demon time. That's a phrase I just made up. There are demons and goblins on various entries, and entries containing, this is according to Prize Picks, entries containing a demon or goblin that'll pay out a little bit differently than your standard entries. You can only pick more on the demon projections. Those are harder to win, but the entry qualifies for higher payouts up to 100 times the normal payout. That is nuts. Then there's goblins. Those are little green guys. Demons are little red guys. Goblins, little green guys. They're a little easier to win because they love the green, but those come with the payout multipliers, but they're a little bit lower than the ones you'll get with the demons. So really, really fun entries. And Chris, I think you went all demon this week.
I went 3 demons out of my 4, and one's a regular, but no, we're going all demons. If you've been listening to the podcast and my prize picks all year, you would know that it hasn't gone great for me. And the plan here is to just take big swings every week and win it all back at once. So I'm going 3 demon picks when it comes to my 49ers plays. Brandon Ayuk, more than 89.5 receiving yards. And that's in part because Cooper Kupp, a couple weeks ago when the Rams played in Baltimore, 115 yards for him. So as good as Marlon Humphrey is, I do think the 49ers can get some yardage out of Brandon Ayuk, given his route running and given how strong the connection is, the chemistry with him and Brock Purdy, even though they did have a couple hiccups on a couple deep balls last week in Arizona. I think Brandon Ayuk might have a big play or two and will be well over the 89.5 mark. You're going to love this one, Kyle. Jake Moody, more than 1.5 field goals made.
I'm on that one, too.
That is another demon pick. Jake Moody, I don't know when he's made 2 field goals in a game, but it's been a while, and I kind of feel like he might be a topic of discussion in this game. And I believe in Jake. I believe in just, you know, the fact that he's kicked in cold weather, the fact that he's got a big leg. You know, I think this is going to be one of those games where maybe field goal here or there could decide it. And, I'm exuding confidence in the 49ers 3rd round pick, to come through here. So 1.5, I feel like it's a little bit generous for a demon pick, but I guess given how many touchdowns the 49ers have been scoring lately, that does make sense. Maybe the most surprising, demon pick. And I do want to thank Prize Picks for giving this one to us. 0.5 touchdowns for Debo Samuel. I'm going more than. He just has to get in the end zone once. And Debo's been on a roll lately, scoring a ton of touchdowns, including 2 last week in Arizona. And then a normal pick, I'm going Gus Edwards, Ravens running back, fewer than 39.5 rushing yards. I think the Niners defense is going to stop the run on Sunday. Point blank, period. And I think Lamar Jackson is going to be the guy who runs the ball the most for the Ravens, not Gus Edwards.
I dig it. I'm going to push back on your first one. I am going with the demon pick of Gus Edwards, more than 59.5 rushing yards. I think he's really going to be their only back. And I think that they are going to try and run on the 49ers and shorten the game. I think he gets to more than 59.5 yards. It might take him, maybe you're right, it might take him 18 carries to get there, but I do think he gets there, and I like the demon pick of more than 59.5 rushing yards for Gus Edwards. I am riding with you on Jake Moody and Debo Samuel. Those are both demon picks. More than 1.5 field goals made, more than a touchdown or half a touchdown for Debo Samuel. If I could choose specifically, I would choose a rushing touchdown, I think. I'm feeling a rushing TD for Debo. I think Kyle Shanahan's going to get in his Duffy. He's going to get in his book bag in this one, and I think Debo Samuel's going to be the beneficiary of that. I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey. This is a goblin pick. I'm going to go more than 59.5 rushing yards. And again, with those demons and goblins, you have to pick more. So I'm going to go more than 59.5 rushing yards for Christian McCaffrey. Again, I think Baltimore's defensive line's really good, but I think that with the amount of explosive plays and 49ers have been able to generate this year, I think even if Christian McCaffrey has a down game, he should get to 60-plus rushing yards. I'm going Brandon Ayuk, another demon pick. More than half a touchdown, rushing or receiving. And he hasn't scored in, he didn't score last week. He hasn't scored in a couple weeks. So I like Brandon Ayuk to find the end zone this week. And then as my one normal pick, I'm going Brock Purdy more than half an interception. And wow. I go to the Ravens pass rush. I go to some of the stuff they're able to do with disguising coverages with Patrick Queen and Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton. It feels like he's going to throw one up and the Ravens are going to take advantage. So I'm going with Brock Purdy more than half an interception. And that is my entry. I'm not going to talk about, you know, specific finances here, but the goblin and demon multipliers help. Let me tell you, if I get all six of these correct, the payout is 44 times my entry.
Don't hate that.
I actively love that, actually. Yeah.
Don't hate that. We love those multipliers. Boy, shout out to Prize Picks.
Love Prize Picks. PrizePicks.com/candlestick. Use promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. That is PrizePicks.com/candlestick. Promo code candlestick for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Daily fantasy sports made easy. Yo, it's your homies Kyle and Chris for Lamb Chops. SGLambChops.com is the website. They are the official clothing brand of Candlestick Chronicles. And follow them on Instagram at SGLambChops because they have some really cool looking stuff that your bland ass boy over here is not very good at styling on his own. And so I pop over to the Instagram. I see how other people are dressing themselves in. Maybe it's the wolf shorts or the lion shorts, or maybe it's a pair of joggers, or maybe it's the ash gray hoodie that you and I love so much. And I base my outfits off of that, and it always makes me look dope, which is the single most important thing.
And it's also comfortable. It's also high quality. Yeah. It's super stylish. They're conversation starters, honestly. They also have kid sizes on here too.
Yes. That is,
and everything's correct. Unisex. We should point out also. So, no matter if you're a man or woman, these clothes will look great on you.
Or a child. They have children's sizes and a lot of their stuff as well. Use promo code Candlestick20 today to get 20% off your order, or you can do it tomorrow or whenever. Candlestick20 is a promo code any day of the week to get 20% off your order from SGLambChops.com. Shout out to them. We really appreciate their support, and we would appreciate it if you support them by going to SGLambChops.com and ordering some dope, comfortable, high-quality clothing. Join the herd today. All right. Who wins?
Yeah, I think the Niners win. I honestly do think, like you mentioned, the Ravens sort of struggling in Jacksonville. The Ravens aren't going to be able to struggle against the Niners and beat that team on the road.
Yep.
I just don't see it.
I agree.
So the Niners, the way they're going right now, I think sort of like this might sound a little weird. I think the things that went wrong in Arizona, like the missed tackles and the bad run defense, the fact that that was an issue against Arizona and the Ravens being so good at running the ball, I think like that might have been a low-key good thing for them to like have to really think about in the week leading up, right? Because we know the Niners are one of the best run defenses in the league. And obviously they didn't have a couple of their guys. And we'll see who comes back.
Somebody real quick, speaking of injuries at defensive tackle, Javon Hargrave and Eric Armstead both didn't. Everything gets pushed up a day because of, or I'm sorry, pushed back a day because of the Monday night game. So Thursday is typically their second practice of the week. So on a Monday night game, it's their first practice. No Javon Hargrave, no Eric Armstead. And then Rye Dog in the YouTube chat asked if Kalia Davis is done for the season now that he went on IR. I don't know the extent of the injury, but you have to be on IR for at least 4 weeks, which is the rest of the regular season and then the first week of the postseason. So the earliest he would be even eligible to come back is the divisional round. And his injury is TBD on whether he would be able to come back or not. So that's all. The 42 missed tackles in the last 3 weeks, does that bother you?
It's not what you want.
Suboptimal for sure. No, I think that honestly, that concerns me more than missing the two defensive tackles. Because they had opportunities last week against Arizona to stuff up some of their bigger runs early, and they just whiffed. And that's something, if you're going to be missing your two starting defensive tackles, especially one like Eric Armstead, who's so good against the run, if you're going to be missing both of those guys, then you need your Dre Greenlaws and your Jair Browns and your Fred Warners to be playing at a elite, elite level to make up for that. And they didn't last week.
So I thought it looked like there was more space for the running backs, for Arizona's running backs to operate, in large part because the Niners tackles weren't playing particularly well against the run, mm-hmm. which made it more difficult to make tackles on the linebackers. And that's not to like be an excuse for the missed tackles, mm-hmm. but I think it's harder to tackle guys in space than it is when things are congested. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that I think, if you're looking at it from Steve Wilkes' perspective, like how can we gum that up a little bit more? How can we prevent Baltimore from creating a bunch of space at the line of scrimmage that makes it more difficult for the linebackers? You know, if the holes are bigger, there's more space for for a linebacker to occupy, and it's just going to be harder to make tackles in those scenarios. So yeah, like I think it speaks to just being more fundamentally sound when it comes to defending the run, and also having more talent there in the form of either Javon Hargrave and or Eric Armstead.
Yeah, I agree. I really think it's going to be dependent on if those guys play or not. If they don't, I think Baltimore wins. And if not, or if they do play, or one of them plays, I think the Niners win.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I at this point, like, I think the Niners could hang 35 on anybody. So, yeah. Like, it could be if they don't play, if those guys don't play and the defense does struggle, I do think the 49ers offense is good enough to overcome that. But it will be a lot more difficult.
Yeah, I wonder if the Ravens just turn it into a, like, grind it out, going to shorten the game. And like you said, muck it up and try and make it a 17-14 game where you just kind of limit possessions as much as possible.
Yeah, that'll probably be the goal. It doesn't look like we're going to get rain. It's not going to rain until Wednesday of next week.
Good.
So,
yeah, it's rain. We could use it. Am I right?
Sierras wouldn't be mad. Ski resorts.
Do you know how cool it was driving over by the Folsom Dam today and seeing like water going through it? It's cool.
So, I take it you haven't been over there in a while.
The last time I had been over there, there was not water in it. So it was cool. Anyways, drop
what
talk.
What a noob.
Yeah. Totally. Ever been to the Sac State Aquatic Center, bro?
Spent some time there over the summer. Very pleasant.
Sac State Aquatic Center. Would. You're a big outdoors guy.
Went there for a birthday celebration. It was quite enjoyable. Did some paddle boarding.
Hey, they're not a sponsor. We don't need to do this.
No, that's true.
Sac State Aquatic Center sponsored the pod.
Man, that would be great.
That'd be sick.
That would be great. Anybody listens? Hop in Kyle's DMs.
All right. I know the homie Ryan Bjork, who works in the Sac State Athletic Department, listens. I love that guy. What a great human.
I talked to him.
I'm so happy I know him.
Talked to him last week for a story.
Of
That's coming all out the, after Christmas. Shameless plug, but
I think that he's one of the six best people I know. And I feel really confident about that.
Yeah, I don't really rank my friends like that, but that's cool.
I do.
That you think
I have
that.
A whole list.
Great.
Yeah. Actually, no, I know you don't rank your friends number 12.
I actually had when you're wedding planning, you have to put your friends in tears, and it is not a fun experience. It's not fun to think about your friends that way, but so you just got to do it.
That's why you do it in secret.
Right.
All right.
So hopefully nobody hacks the old spreadsheet.
I wouldn't be sad if I was in like, if I was like tier three. If I was below tier three, I'd be pretty bummed.
In my tier?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I?
We'll see.
All right. This has gone off the rails entirely. We'll see. All right. This has gone off the rails entirely. I think we're going to be done now. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Subscribe on YouTube if you're watching here. Just hit subscribe right there. Please hit the thumbs up button. It takes 2 seconds of your time, and it helps us out a lot. And subscribe to the channel, and also hit that little notification bell so when we do go live, as we do after every game and a couple times a week, you will get notified and you can watch. Also, we do this show, if you're new, we do this show. False. We do this show year round. We don't take a break when it's not football season. We're doing shows throughout the year talking 49ers, you know, big picture, small picture, draft, free agency, just fun, you know, trips down memory lane kind of thing. We do guests and stuff. So I really appreciate everybody who watches and listens. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your pods as well. Please rate and review. 5 stars would be great. And that's going to do it for this 49ers Ravens preview. We'll see everybody on Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning live show. Should we do a live show? Why not? Tuesday morning live
day
show.
After, have some
coffee.
People chilling. Yeah, man. Yeah. I love the idea that we're not going to make Tyler work on Christmas, but then we're like, hey, bro, can you be up at 7 a.m. to get this uploaded? No, we're not going to do that. Tyler's the very best. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.